Let's stay with sport now. We're joined by the ABC's national sports editor, David Mark. Hi, David.
G'day, Fran. Amazing news about Caster Semenya.
It is. I think it's only temporary by the sounds of it, but still, indeed, she's had a reprieve. Let's talk tennis. Ash Barty, through to the quarterfinals of the French Open. How far can she go?
Well, she can go the whole way because the draws really opened up for her with some of the main competitors, Naomi Osaka and Williams, out of the tournament. So Ash Barty, she had a 3-sets win yesterday over the American Sofia Kenin. She won 6-3, 3-6, 6-love. Next up, she plays Madison Keys. Now, remember, Ash Barty's the 8th seed. Madison Keys is the 14th seed, and that's for a spot in the semifinals. If she wins that, she's on track to play the Romanian Simona Halep, who's the 3rd seed, so that'll be a real test for her. But she absolutely swatted away Halep, Iva Swiatek from Poland, 6-1, 6-love. So she's on track, she's doing very well.
Yesterday we were talking about some shock results in the World Cup, the Cricket World Cup. Well, there's been another one overnight, Pakistan beating host nation England by 14 runs. How'd they do that?
No one saw this coming at all because England have been far and away the most dominant team in world internet one-day cricket. Pakistan have been a bit of a rabble, and yet Pakistan scored 8 for 348. Remember the days when 200 was a typical score in one-day cricket? No longer. There was just a real consistency, but Mohammad Hafiz in particular scoring 84 runs off 62 balls. England had two centurions, Joe Root and Jos Buttler, both scored hundreds, but in the end they fell 14 runs short. They lost 3 wickets late, despite being in a chance for a win with a couple of overs remaining, 3 late wickets, and that was that. So the World Cup just goes to show just how open it is. And tonight, it's Afghanistan versus Sri Lanka, and a real chance for Afghanistan to get a win there too, which would be really quite exciting.
Fantastic. Just goes to show you can hit 100, but it depends how quickly you hit it. I suppose just briefly, David, where does Carlton go now after the sacking of the coach, Brendan Bolton?
Absolutely. It just goes to show, as soon as you're appointed coach, it's just one day, you know, eventually you will be sacked. Look, they've got a huge list of assistant coaches around the AFL to choose from, but they really had no choice. Carlton's won just 4 games from their past 43, and Brendan Bolton, despite having a very young, talented team, simply wasn't getting the results. So they have to look for someone new.
4 games from 43. Wow. David, more sports news at 7:30. Thank you.
Thanks, Fran.
And the ABC's national sports editor is David Mark, who joins us again. Hi, David.
How are you, Fran?
The Swiss Federal Court has given a temporary reprieve to Caster Semenya, allowing her to compete. So what now?
Well, what it means essentially is that for now she can run. So you'll remember that the Court of Arbitration for Sport earlier on this year ruled that because she had a very high level of testosterone, her and any other runners who run between the 400-metre and 1-mile event who have high levels of testosterone have to take medication in order to lower those levels of testosterone. And she said, not doing that. And she took it to the Swiss Federal Court. That court now has basically given her a temporary injunction, allowing her to run until it hears the case. And the fact is, Fran, there is no time frame for when that could be heard. So she's in a bit of a holding pattern, but it means for now that she can compete. She issued a statement through her lawyer saying that she was thankful and, quote, hopeful that she will be able to once again run free. And there's a crucial date coming up, Fran. It's the World Athletics Championships, which are being held in Qatar starting in late September. So there is now a chance that she could run there as well if the federal court doesn't get around to this hearing. And as I said, no time frame. So it really opens things up now. This has been an absolute can of worms with people lining up on both sides of the debate about it. And it still seems it's got quite a long way to run.
Yeah. And David, how has New South Wales reacted to the leaking of yet another sex tape on the eve of the first State of Origin, allegedly involving a New South Wales player? Though I noticed that the coach said, no, it's not our guy.
That's right, yeah. Utter incredulity, the disbelief. I mean, there are claims of sabotage. You'll remember that earlier on this year there were a number of sex tapes released involving rugby league players. It just happened on the eve of the season. Mm-hmm. And there's another one today. It's an 8-second clip. I haven't seen it. Apparently it's gone viral. It's involving one player who is alleged to be a New South Wales Blues player. But as you said, Brad Fittler, who's the New South Wales coach, has absolutely denied it. But Greg Alexander, who's a former New South Wales legend and an advisor to the team, was asked whether it was a deliberate attempt to sabotage the team on the eve of Origin. And he said, please, look at the timing of it. Of course it is. So it raises all sorts of questions. Who's attempting to sabotage the New South Wales team and how effective will it be? Obviously, it's got to be very upsetting for the person who is allegedly involved. But this is just on the day before State of Origin. New South Wales are due to have their last training session today. There'll be a huge media contingent there, and the first question that they will all be asking is going to be about this
sex tape. And if it's true, of course, it doesn't matter about the timing. It's all justifiable. But if it's not true, then it's something else altogether. David, thank you very much.
No worries, Fran.